Metamaterials for Visible Light. The race is on. Ever since the announcement that metamaterials have been fabricated in the laboratory, there's been a stampede of activity in this area, with new insights and startling breakthroughs coming every few months. The goal is clear: to use nanotechnology to create metamaterials that can bend visible light, not just microwaves. Several approaches have been proposed, all of them quite promising. One proposal is to use off-the-shelf technology, that is, to borrow known techniques from the semiconductor industry to create new metamaterials. A technique called photolithography lies at the heart of computer miniaturization and hence drives the computer revolution. This technology enables engineers to place hundreds of millions of tiny transistors onto a silicon wafer no bigger than your thumb. The reason that computer power doubles every 18 months, which is called Moore's Law, is because scientists use ultraviolet radiation to etch tinier and tinier components onto a silicon chip. This technique is very similar to the way in which stencils are used to create colorful t-shirts. Computer engineers start with a thin wafer and then apply extremely thin coatings of various materials on top. A plastic mask is then placed over the wafer, which acts as a template. It contains the complex outlines of the wires, transistors, and computer components that are the basic skeleton of the circuitry. The wafer is then bathed in ultraviolet radiation, which has a very short wavelength, and that radiation imprints the pattern onto the photosensitive wafer. By treating the wafer with special gases and acids, the complex circuitry of the mask is etched onto the wafer where it was exposed to ultraviolet light. This process creates a wafer containing hundreds of millions of tiny grooves, which form the outlines of the transistors. At present, the smallest components that one can create with this etching process are about 30 nanometers, or about 150 atoms across. A milestone in the quest for invisibility came when this silicon wafer etching technology was used by a group of scientists to create the first metamaterial that operates in the visible range of light. Scientists in Germany and at the U.S. Department of Energy announced in early 2007 that for the first time in history, they had fabricated a metamaterial that worked for red light. The impossible had been achieved in a remarkably short time. Physicist Kostas Tsoukalos of the Ames Laboratory in Iowa, with Stefan Linden, Martin Wegener, and Gunnar Dolling of the University of Karlsruhe, Germany, were able to create a metamaterial that had an index of minus 0.6 for red light at a wavelength of 780 nanometers. Previously, the world record for radiation bent by a metamaterial was 1,400 nanometers, which put it outside the range of visible light, in the range of infrared. The scientists first started with a glass sheet and then deposited a thin coating of silver, magnesium fluoride, and then another layer of silver, forming a sandwich of fluoride that was only 100 nanometers thick. Then, using standard etching techniques, they created a large array of microscopic square holes in the sandwich, creating a grid pattern resembling a fishnet. The holes are only 100 nanometers wide, much smaller than the wavelength of red light. Then they passed a red light beam through the material and measured its index, which was negative 0.6. These physicists foresee many applications of this technology. Metamaterials may one day lead to the development of a type of flat superlens that operates in the visible spectrum, says Dr. Tsoukalos. Such a lens would offer superior resolution over conventional technology, capturing details much smaller than one wavelength of light. The immediate application of such a superlens would be to photograph microscopic objects with unparalleled clarity, such as the inside of a living human cell, or to diagnose diseases in a baby inside the womb. Ideally, one would be able to obtain photographs of the components of a DNA molecule without having to use clumsy X-ray crystallography. So far, these scientists have demonstrated a negative index of refraction only for red light. Their next step would be to use this technology to create a metamaterial that would bend red light entirely around an object, rendering it invisible to that light. Future developments along these lines may occur in the area of photonic crystals. The goal of photonic crystal technology is to create a chip that uses light rather than electricity to process information. This entails using nanotechnology to etch tiny components onto a wafer, such that the index of refraction changes with each component. Transistors using light have several advantages over those using electricity. For example, there is much less heat loss for photonic crystals. In advanced silicon chips, the heat generated is enough to fry an egg. Thus, they must be continually cooled down or else they will fail, and keeping them cool is very costly. Not surprisingly, the science of photonic crystals is ideally suited for metamaterials, since both technologies involve manipulating the index of refraction of light at the nanoscale. Invisibility via plasmonics. Not to be outdone, yet another group announced in mid-2007 that they have created a metamaterial that bends visible light using an entirely different technology called plasmonics. Physicists Henri Lazzac, Jennifer Dion, and Harry Atwater at the California Institute of Technology announced that they had created a metamaterial that had a negative index for the more difficult blue-green region of the visible spectrum of light. The goal of plasmonics is to squeeze light so that one can manipulate objects at the nanoscale, especially on the surface of metals. The reason metals conduct electricity is that electrons are loosely bound to metal atoms, so they can freely move along the surface of the metal lattice. The electricity flowing in the wires in your home represents the smooth flow of these loosely bound electrons on the metal surface. But under certain conditions, when a light beam collides with the metal surface, the electrons can vibrate in unison with the original light beam, creating wave-like motions of the electrons on the metal surface, called plasmons, and these wave-like motions beat in unison with the original light beam. More important, one can squeeze these plasmons so that they have the same frequency as the original beam, and hence carry the same information, but have a much smaller wavelength. In principle, one might then cram these squeeze waves onto nanowires. As with photonic crystals, the ultimate goal of plasmonics is to create computer chips that compute using light rather than electricity. The Caltech group built their metamaterial out of two layers of silver, with a silicon nitrogen insulator in between, with a thickness of only 50 nanometers, which acted as a wave guide that could shepherd the direction of the plasmonic waves. Laser light enters and exits the apparatus via two slits carved into the metamaterial. By analyzing the angles at which the laser light is bent as it passes through the metamaterial, one can then verify that the light is being bent via a negative index.